live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, 783 new cases of COVID-19 confirmed in the Republic today. North of the border, 636 new cases confirmed. We'll hear from Philip Nolan from Neffet. Ireland can't afford to wait for herd immunity to open indoor dining, according to the Taoiseach. Leo Varadkar was speaking during a Dáil debate on legislation to allow vaccinated people and those recovering from COVID eat indoors. The British government is planning to effectively end all prosecutions relating to the Troubles. We'll hear from the Northern Secretary, Brandon Lewis, and also reaction from the Deputy First Minister at Stormont, Michelle O'Neill. And later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. 783 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in the Republic this afternoon. 73 people are currently being treated in hospital for the virus. That's up 13 on yesterday's figure. 20 patients are in ICU. In the 2 weeks to midnight on Monday, there were 707 cases of COVID-19, the highest of any county outside Dublin. That represents an incidence rate of 444.1 cases per 100,000 people in Donegal. It compares to a national rate of 150.8. Donegal's incidence rate remains the highest in the country. North of the border today, 636 new cases were confirmed. That's the highest daily total since January. There's been one additional COVID-related death north of the border. Well, the 783 new cases reported in the Republic today represents the highest figure since February 20th. Professor Philip Nolan, who chairs Neffet's modelling group, says the incident rate is growing rapidly and he believes that will continue to be the case.
Case counts are currently growing at 3.5%. Per day, somewhere between 2 and 4.5%. Our reproduction number is a little bit above 1.2, probably estimated between 1.1 and 1.3. And all of that gives us a doubling time. Right now, if nothing else changes, our case counts will double every 15 to 30 days.
Ireland can't afford to wait for herd immunity to open indoor dining. That's according to Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. The Dáil has been debating legislation this afternoon that would allow the resumption of indoor hospitality for those who've been vaccinated or who have recovered from COVID. Opposition parties believe the new laws are rushed. They're pushing for more time to debate it. Leo Varadkar says he doesn't believe the country can afford to wait to reopen hospitality.
We can't just wait for population immunity. Some people are saying that we can achieve population immunity when all adults are vaccinated in September. But in reality, we've no idea if that's going to be the case. Children under 12 can't yet be vaccinated, and we don't know what's going to happen with future variants and immunity from vaccinations waning. So to wait for herd immunity is not a plan, in my view.
Well, a Donegal councillor and hotel manager says he will not enforce the government's proposal to prevent unvaccinated adults from dining indoors. Micheál Nochlann says it's an unworkable and discriminatory policy, particularly in this region, as most guests and visitors who come to Donegal are from Northern Ireland. Mr. Nochlann told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show that it's ridiculous that people could be prevented entering his bar, the hotel bar in the Clannery, because they haven't proved they're vaccinated, when the bar itself could be full of unvaccinated hotel guests who face no such restrictions. He says last year's experience proved that the hospitality sector is safe.
This time last year, we had the biggest number ever in this county. Our hospitality businesses were opened to residents and non-residents. I didn't see a huge outbreak in cases. And I can't understand how these cases were put to the government to prove that basically our businesses are safe. We protect guests and we look after guests. So no outbreak in this county, but the biggest numbers ever. We even surpassed Kerry last year in Donegal with tourism.
A government minister says GPs will be able to provide digital COVID certs to people who have recovered from COVID-19, but there is no timeline on when this will happen. And he confirmed GPs have not yet been consulted about that plan. Equality Minister Roderic O'Gorman says most who have recovered from COVID will get their certs through a call centre that's being established next week.
I've heard what GPs have said about this. I know they've expressed concerns about that. I suppose we're making capacity for medical practitioners to do that within the regulations following engagements with them, but I do think the vast majority of people will get their COVID certs through engagement with the helpline, and that's how we'd be advising people.
Well, there are concerns that people who spell their names in the Irish language may be turned away from foreign airports due to an issue with their digital COVID certs. Conor Na Gaeilge says the father is being replaced by unknown characters and letters on the documents which are being sent out this week. The group warned this is commonplace across Irish society, but agencies could get away with it because staff could recognise Irish names. However, Conor's General Secretary, Julian Despon, says that won't be the case abroad.
I doubt they would accept the certs if they're meant for travel and they're meant for, I mean, if it's an important issue, the whole COVID issue, that if you don't have, they don't recognise what's on the person's certificate, they're not going to accept it, I'm sure. But, I mean, we've seen in the past, I mean, in Ardern, for example, for years didn't fix their system. But again, as I say, they could get away with it.
The British government is planning to effectively end all prosecutions relating to the troubles in Northern Ireland. Northern Secretary Brandon Lewis has this afternoon announced a series of measures to deal with the legacy of Northern Ireland's past. He told the House of Commons in London he understands that the approach will be difficult for some people.
Thirdly, a statute of limitations to apply equally to all troubles-related incidents. We know that the prospect of the end of criminal prosecutions will be difficult for some to accept, and this is not a position that we take lightly. But we've come to the view that this is the best and only way to facilitate an effective information retrieval and provision process.
Well, the Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, is rejecting the move. We'll hear from her in a moment. But first of all, Michael Farry, the North Down MP for the Alliance Party.
These shameful proposals are an insult to all victims and indeed to many veterans who served honourably. They don't draw a line on amnesty, but rather they cross the line on justice and the rule of law.
Oh, Stephen Farry, of course, the Alliance Party MP. Well, the Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, spoke to reporters in Colland in County Tyrone a short time ago. She said opposition to this move by the British government is so widespread, it's clear it's being done by the British government to suit its own purposes.
Today, the British government have once again shown a very clear, blatant disregard for the people who live here, for our peace process, but most importantly, for the victims and survivors of the conflict. These are people who have campaigned, in some cases, for up to 5 decades for access to truth and to justice and to investigations into the loss of their loved ones. I think that once again today, the British government have set out their statement of intent, and it goes right to the highest echelons of government, because it begs the question why they're doing this, particularly given the fact that all the 5 political parties here are opposed to an amnesty. All the victims and survivors groups are opposed to an amnesty, and also, as is the Irish government, opposed to an amnesty. So you have to ask the question, why are the British government intent in taking this route? It has to be to do 2 things in my mind. It has to be to protect state forces and their dirty role here in Ireland, and I think it also has to be to protect those in suits who directed British state murder of Irish citizens over many decades here. So that's what the intention is, and this does nothing to serve the needs and the interests of the victims and survivors. We will continue to work with the victims and survivors because this is not acceptable. There is no room for an amnesty in terms of dealing with the past. We have to deal with the past, but we must deal with it in the way in which was set out in the Stormont House Agreement.
And that was Michelle O'Neill, the Deputy First Minister at Stormont. A prominent campaigner on the Mica issue said today that Donegal County Council should have been looking for more help from the government long before now. Speaking before the start of the latest meeting of the government's working group, which took place today, Paddy Diver told Greg Hughes on the 9 till Noon show that the council has upped its game considerably because of the pressure coming from the community, and particularly since he posted a series of videos examining what's happened with Mica to date.
Anybody can tell you, some stuff here has been done here. The council have upped their game. Do you know what I mean? The council needed help all along us here. It's been said on the government meetings that the council's doing well, all's great up here. But since these videos started coming out, I totally disagreed with that on the government meetings. And I asked the government to send up help up onto them. They know now that the eyes of the public and everything is on them, and they've upped their game. They hadn't even asked for a liaison officer until we started putting up these videos, until I started shouting up about the liaison officer. We've actually used it as one of the things on the government that we're asking for, as for an office to walk into. Now, how is our council not asked for that there way before now? They've known people's mental health and stress at a different level of filling out forms, putting things onto PFDs, using a computer. I can do it. My wife is just about to do it, and it's taken her a while to do it. I wouldn't be thinking how somebody that's got maybe children in the house that need full-time care that have to try and fill in these forms and do computer stuff, what that's actually doing to them, like with somebody with a disabled child, with an old-age pensioner. And this council hasn't even asked for one of the most simplest things. They haven't asked for help. Like, a council official said in the government that they didn't need help. That's fact. And what we're putting out in these videos is, I've clearly stated they do need help.
And that was Paddy Diver. Well, earlier it was suggested by a Donegal County Councillor that log cabins could be located at a number of areas around the Letterkenny Milford district in order to house people whose homes are being repaired or rebuilt as a result of MICA. Councillor Michael McBride told the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District this week that it's an option they should be considering.
I looked around Letterkenny and I could see the sites there that are lying empty, such as the old Unify site, the Oatfield site and maybe the Bacon Factory site, and it kind of dawned on me that they might be ideal places to investigate to see if we could put log cabins on them, maybe up to 20 of them, because the water, the sewerage and the electricity is already there. They're basically service sites. Probably need to look at the put one in the Milford area as well, and the other municipal areas, you know, in Ishuan and St Norler, they think it would be ideal.
Comments you made at the special MICA meeting that took place last Friday have gained a lot of traction in terms of the length of time this repair process can take. You were pointing out that a lot of people seem to be underestimating the actual amount of work that the repair programme across Donegal and further afield is going to involve and the length of time it's going to take.
Oh, it's huge, Donald. Basically I've been talking to people that have been involved in replacing just outer leaves, and they're telling me that a team of four men, it's going to take about four houses per year. They may get started on a fifth. So basically it comes down to one man, one house per year, and that's only for outer leaf. We do know that a lot of these are going to be total rebuilds. So if you do 500 houses, you know it's 500 men per year for 10 years. It's 5,000 houses. So that's the kind of figures that we're looking at. And then we have to think all the time about the people who are living in their houses with MICA. It's not something we have time to wait on. And we have to get moving on this really quickly and keep the pressure on to get them finished.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. We say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with rugby. The Lions have confirmed that captain Alwyn Jones is returning to the squad. The experienced Wales lock sustained a dislocated shoulder in a warm-up game against Japan just 18 days ago. Jones has been assessed by the Welsh medical team and has now been cleared to travel to South Africa. Stand-in captain Conor Murray will get the chance to lead the Lions this evening. They are in Cape Town to go on South Africa A. A side, of course, which has quite a few of the team which won the World Cup in 2019 on board. Murray says this evening's game is a fourth test in all but name.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty much a test match. If you look at their lineup, it's going to be a really intense game. It's going to be a trial run for the tests, or almost a fourth test. So, yeah, like I said, since we've arrived in Cape Town, I think players have switched into a little bit more serious mode in terms of our prep and the edge that we have in training. And now having seen the South African A lineup, it's only going to sharpen our focus even more.
Kickoff in Cape Town tonight is 7 o'clock. The Irish Olympic team's final lineup has been confirmed and it contains a record 116 athletes. Megan Fletcher and Ben Fletcher will represent Ireland in judo, which is Japan's national sport. They were the final inclusions announced by the Olympic Federation of Ireland today ahead of the start of the Games on July 23rd. The previous record of athletes representing Ireland was at 81. They competed in the London Games in 1948. Only 3 positive coronavirus cases have been identified of the 8,000 athletes, support staff and media who have travelled to Tokyo for the Olympics so far this month. Everyone involved in the Games is subject to rigorous testing and restrictions. The opening ceremony takes place next Friday. It's understood Marcus Rashford will miss the start of Manchester United's Premier League season as he needs surgery on a shoulder injury. The issue affected the England forward for much of the last campaign. A scan has showed an operation is needed, but it won't take place for a few weeks and he may not be available again until October. Katie Taylor is set to return to the boxing ring on September the 4th. She'll defend her undisputed lightweight title against former IBF featherweight world champion Jessica Hahn. The fight will take place outdoors at Head and Lane Leeds on the undercard of the rematch of Mauricio Lara and Josh Warrington. The 149th Open starts tomorrow at Royal St George. There is huge hype around the event, with the big hitters all looking to make an impact on the leaderboard from early on. Bryson DeChambeau, of course, is chasing a second major of his career. He tees off at 9:25 with countryman Jordan Spieth and Brandon Grace of South Africa alongside him. And the big hitting American knows what he must do to succeed.
It's pretty interesting. There's a certain amount of holes you can kind of go after it on, and there's a couple that you can't. You know, if you hit it in the rough and the hay, it's not easy to get out of. I hope I can hit it far enough to where I can wedge it out still onto the green if I get good enough lies. But there's certain lies out there. It's going to be a pitch back to the fairway, and that's included for everybody. If you're, you know, hitting it 300 off the tee and it goes into the hay, it's not easy to get to the green from there either. So I hope that the length will be a little bit of an advantage. I just have to drive it well. That's what I have to do this week. And the speed control on the greens is going to be huge. If I don't three putt this week, I'll have a pretty good chance going into Sunday.
Tadej Pogacar has strengthened his hold on the leader's yellow jersey after today's 17th stage of cycling's Tour de France. The Slovenian led the peloton home up the Col du Porte. Pogacar now holds a 5 minute and 39 second lead over Jonas Vingegaard. And Galway Festival racing organisers have received a blow with the news that just 1,000 spectators per day will be allowed to attend the 2021 festival. Last year's event took place without crowds at Ballybrit due to the COVID-19 restrictions, but organisers had been hoping that 5,000 spectators per day would be permitted this year, but that's not the case. They're only going to be allowed 1,000 per day at the running of this year's festival. That's your sport for today, Donal. We'll be back with more as usual tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Washing. Ireland's surface and groundwaters remain under pressure from human activities. The Environmental Protection Agency is warning Ireland is in danger of losing its excellent coastal water quality unless urgent action is taken to reduce nitrogen from farms entering water. Of the 1,800 river bodies inspected last year, 43% were deemed to be satisfactory. Over the course of the past 5 years, the figure in Donegal has been 46%. With more, here's Áine McGlinchey.
Over the period between 2017 and 2020, the Environmental Protection Agency carried out tests on 2,355 rivers across the county, 185 of them in Donegal. Each of the rivers was given a Q mark, ranging from high quality to poor quality. Of the rivers in Donegal, 26 were deemed to be of high quality, while 73 were of good quality. 46 were deemed to be moderate, 38 were classified as poor, and one was ranked bad. Mary Gurry, the EPA's programme manager, says improvements are needed.
And of course, our rivers and our lakes and groundwater supply our drinking water, so it's really important that we do protect this precious resource. About half of our rivers and lakes are in good biological condition, which is good, but that means there's a very high number which aren't able to sustain a healthy ecosystem of, you know, fish and plants and insects. We did recent analysis that shows that in most of those rural catchments, more than 85% of the source of the nitrogen is from agriculture, and that's from chemical fertiliser and organic fertiliser.
The Cathaoirleach of Glenties Municipal District says it's unacceptable that the government still hasn't published its wind energy policies. As a result, Councillor Mary Trace Gallagher says the policies can't be incorporated into the county development plan, and it's very difficult for planning officers to make decisions, and also difficult for the community to make comments or raise objections. Councillor Gallagher says it's not acceptable with so many live applications for wind farm developments in the system at the moment.
There's applications for wind farms going in, and there's no wind energy policy. It makes everybody's life, but for the general public, that's our responsibility as a council, and to have policies that they can either agree with or object, you know, on the grounds of. We've been pushing this at council level for over 2 years, and the government, we've always been told the government are going to issue guidelines. From the day I went into the council, the guidelines were imminent, and we still don't have guidelines. So this is why the hold-up is. It's about waiting on government policy, and we don't have that government policy, but...
Donegal County Council is being urged to provide basic recycling facilities on a 24-hour basis in Carndonagh. At present, the only bring banks are located within the recycling centre, which is only open on a limited basis. And Councillor Albert Doherty says that's got to change.
The principal issue is an issue of access. in Carndonagh. We have access alone on Monday, Wednesday, Saturday there within restricted hours. You have many, many people who want to play their part in recycling, recycling glass, recycling tins, and we don't have access, and we do need to have that remedied by council. That was the matter I was bringing up, not for the first time. We have our facility tendered out in Carndonagh, and after the hours that it's open to the public, it's under lock and key. So in the whole of the town and town area then, we don't have an opportunity to participate because we don't have access to a bring back bank. That has been researched, looked at by council, and I said if we can't get an area where the general public are allowing us to locate, then council itself must look at its own land and play a part to resolve this outstanding issue.
Garthy have seized cocaine with an estimated street value of €35 million. The haul was disguised in bags of coal and smuggled in two large containers from South America to Rotterdam. With more, here's Laura Donnelly.
As part of a significant international operation, Garthy believed an attempt was being made by an organised crime group to import up to half a tonne of cocaine into Ireland. As a result, Garthy took possession of two shipping containers that arrived a number of weeks ago at Rotterdam port. The containers were then transported to Dublin port and were brought ashore under armed escort. The two containers had up to 2,000 bags of charcoal. However, Forensic Science Ireland has confirmed some of the bags contain cocaine. Garthy say it will take a number of days and perhaps longer for FSI to extract the cocaine from the product within which it's concealed, and it's anticipated a number of suspects will be arrested in the near future.
34,000 car owners have had their NCT certificates revoked. The National Car Testing Service says some customers were wrongly provided with a two-year cert instead of a one-year one. They are mainly customers whose tests were deferred for a number of months as a result of COVID last year. The NCT says new certs will be issued and customers will be contacted individually. Well, returning to one of today's main stories, and the Dáil has been debating the proposed legislation to allow hospitality open indoors toward the end of next week. Earlier, we heard how the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar told members that they cannot wait for herd immunity in September. Well, with a special report on how proceedings have been going in the Dáil this afternoon, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
The legislation is being rushed through the Dáil in a truncated debate this afternoon before a vote tonight, with Taoiseach Leo Varadkar saying they can't wait for herd immunity through vaccination.
Keeping the sector closed would severely impact on people's livelihoods and the ability to provide for themselves and their families.
There's been massive criticism from the opposition, Sinn Féin's David Cullinan, saying it's not now or never for hospitality.
And that's the pattern that we've got from this government. Our way or no way. And there is alternatives.
Labour's Alan Kelly believes allowing fully vaccinated people only to dine indoors is discrimination.
The proposal that is outlined here is going to break social solidarity.
Social Democrats co-leader Roisin Shorthall saying there hasn't been enough time to properly examine these laws.
We actually don't know anything about the data underpinning judgments that have been taken.
And People Before Profits' Paul Murphy arguing opening indoor dining should be delayed until September.
Instead, we're going to open the tap in terms of significant more increases.
Despite all the objections, it's likely the new laws will be passed in the Dáil tonight. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Looking at the weather forecast, it'll stay mainly dry but cloudy this evening and into tonight. A chance of some mist or drizzle in places. Lows tonight of 13 or 14 degrees Celsius in light westerly winds. Tomorrow we'll see a lot of dry weather with sunny spells. Staying cloudier in western parts of the region. Drizzle or mist possible at times, but will tend to clear later in the day. Top temperatures tomorrow 20 to 24 degrees Celsius. Cooler in coastal areas in light westerly breezes. Main stories in brief this evening. 783 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed this afternoon in the Republic. 636 new cases north of the border today. In the 2 weeks to midnight, On Monday, meanwhile, there were 707 cases of COVID-19 in Donegal, the highest of any county outside Dublin. The county's incidence rate now 444.1, compared to a national rate of 150.8. As you've been hearing, the Dáil has been debating legislation to allow people dine indoors once they're vaccinated or have recovered from COVID. There's been strong opposition, but it's expected that legislation will pass tonight. Meanwhile, a Donegal councillor and hotel manager, Micheál Nocton, says he won't enforce the government's proposal to prevent unvaccinated adults from dining indoors. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 14th of July. The death has occurred of Annie McLaughlin, née Kelly, 13, Main Street, Convoy. Funeral leaving McCool's Chapel of Rest, Ballybuffet, this evening at 6:30 to arrive at St Mary's Church Convoy at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 with interment afterwards in the Old Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers if desired directly to St Vincent de Paul Branch Convoy or care of any family member. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via Craigs Media Facebook page. In compliance with current HSC and government restrictions, the house, funeral and burial will be strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted in the church.